Katie, thank you so much. You've heard about the 12 days of Christmas, but have you heard about the 12 eggs of Easter? Because, this morning I had 12 eggs of Easter, but the Easter carton is empty. And I'm wondering if we could maybe, I think they're out there somewhere among you. And I'm just thinking we could probably get them up here again. And inside each egg, there's something that's going to help us tell the Easter story. So has anybody got egg number one? Anybody got egg number one? Brilliant. Come on up. Brilliant. Can I have that? Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, Lexi. That's great. So let's have a wee look and see what is in egg number one. It's a little donkey. Have we got a bigger picture of a little donkey going to come on the screen so you can see it? Because it's probably fairly hard for you to actually see. But we may be able to get, there we go, picture of a little donkey. Can you remember where a donkey appears in the Easter story? Fantastic. Well done, Victoria. That's brilliant. So yes, last Sunday we remembered Palm Sunday and the fact that Jesus said to his disciples, could you go into the village and get a donkey and the colt of a donkey and bring them here? And then Jesus rode as a king into Jerusalem. One thing that really struck me during the week whenever we're having our Holy Week services across the way, joined with other churches in the middle of the town, was the fact that a few days before this, there would have been a big contingent of soldiers came in with Pontius Pilate into the city because during the Passover festival, the population of Jerusalem is estimated to have swollen from 40,000 to 250,000. And it was a hotbed for potential insurrection and violence. And so Pontius Pilate would have brought down a large contingent of Roman soldiers armed to the teeth, riding on horses, into the citadel, the Roman citadel, which is placed right beside the temple, because they thought, if there's trouble, that's where it'll start. And so there were Roman soldiers everywhere throughout the city. How different to the peasant procession that came in from the western side of the city. Jesus came in from Bethany. Pontius Pilate would have come down from Caesarea and the big Roman fort. And how different that as people took their cloaks and put it on the ground and cut branches and put it on the ground, there was not a sword or a spear or a horse or a chariot in sight. And this was a peasant procession. But actually, it was all to do with the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, who said, the king of Israel will come into this city and he will be riding on a donkey. Egg number two. Who's got egg number two? Brilliant. Fantastic. Let's have egg number two. Thank you very much indeed, Emma. That is fab. Brilliant. Thank you very much. This one rattles a wee bit because, sadly, this is where things started to go badly wrong, because inside here there are some coins. Anybody any ideas why we have coins during the Easter story? Yes, Elizabeth? That is right, that is right. So, if we do have a handheld mic, for future questions, I will get the handheld mic out because these are really, really good answers we're getting. So, the chief priests and Pharisees knew that they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They wanted to kill him. But the trouble was they couldn't arrest him during the day because they knew there were so many followers and they would be in big trouble. It would spark off a big riot and they want to stop a riot. And so they thought, what can we do? And they were overjoyed whenever one of Jesus' closest friends, Judas, came and said, what will you give me if I betray Jesus, if I give him into your hands? Isn't that terrible that one of Jesus' closest friends said, what are you going to give me if I betray my friend? And they said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Now that figure's talked about in the Old Testament. And so basically what was happening was there was this ransom price that Jesus was sold for the price of 30 pieces of silver. And the scene was set for Jesus to be betrayed. And sadly, it was through one of his closest friends. Egg number three. Who is egg number three? Brilliant. Could I bring them? You've you've got another one. You were brilliant, fantastic. That is super. That is brilliant. Inside egg number three, we've got a cup. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the cup of wrath. But this Sunday is a different type of cup. Any idea what this cup is to do with? Yes, there's Emma. I think Emma has an answer. If you go down, Emily, please. And we'll hear what this little cup is about.
It was about when they had the supper.
That's right. Well done, Emma. They had their last supper. Let's give Emma a round of applause and all the other ones too. That is brilliant. And this cup is the same cup that we're going to be sharing in today. It's the cup to do with the forgiveness of sins. In the Passover festival, traditionally, there were four cups, and one of them was to do with forgiveness. And today, the cup that we drink is the cup that Jesus says, this is the new deal that I'm going to the cross to win for you. Utter forgiveness. Everything in your past which is wrong being wiped clean, being washed clean. Which is why when we're baptized in water, because it's all about washing away the sin and the grime and the guilt and shame from our lives and the new life that comes through it. Brilliant. Number four. Have we got a fourth egg out there somewhere? Did I see a hand go up? Brilliant. I think Judith's coming up here. Fantastic. Judith, thank you so much. That is brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. Let's have we look inside. And we have got praying hands. I'll put a picture there you can see closer. These are the hands of Jesus that we talked about last Sunday in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus praying, Lord, if it's possible for this cup of suffering, that's a different cup, a cup of suffering, to be taken from me, then, Lord, do take it from me, but may your holy will be done. And so in that then, we heard all last week about Jesus saying, Lord, I'm willing to do what you've called me to do. Number five, got a fifth egg. Brilliant, fantastic, thank you so much. Let's have a wee look and see what's in this egg. Thank you very much indeed. And let's see what we've got. What do you think that is? Well, the words on the screen. It's a whip. Well, what do you think over here? What do you think there, Clara, the whip is all about during this week?
To whip children with.
To whip children with? Oh, there's going to be questions asked after this service. Okay. I think the Hinton Ambassador families are going to be escorted out of the building just afterwards. There's another possibility, yes?
Whenever Jesus was whipped.
Jesus was whipped. And this was a whip that would have had a piece of metal and pieces of bone in it. Oh, you'll never live that down now. Jesus said to his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be arrested. He's going to suffer and he's going to die. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. And we didn't really think, what does that suffering mean? The disciples weren't sure what it meant. But it meant awful suffering. It meant being whipped until his back bled and he was being prepared for crucifixion. Sixth egg, please. We've got another egg here somewhere. Sixth egg, wave it in the air. Brilliant. That is super. Fantastic. Thank you so much. That is brilliant. Well done. Thank you very much indeed, Martha. And let's see what's in the egg. A rooster. And does anyone know what sort of sound a rooster makes? Cock-a-doodle-doo, that's right. Why do you think we have a rooster in the story leading up to Easter? And I think we have an answer over here. Brilliant, Rebecca.
Because Jesus said, when the cock will crow, you must betray me.
That is right. That is very well done. Well done, Rebecca. That is super. So yes, it maybe it seemed a bit strange having a rooster in the Easter story. Whenever Jesus said the Son of Man, he meant himself, was going to suffer and die and rise again. Simon Peter said, this isn't going to happen. You're not going to be put to death. I'll make sure it doesn't happen and I'll be with you. I'll not desert you. Even though you're saying everyone's going to desert you, I'll not desert you. And Jesus prophesied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was able to say something that was going to happen in the future. And he said, before the cock crows, the rooster crows for a second time, you will deny that you know me three times. And so Simon Peter was in the courtyard, and he was warming himself by the fire, and three people asked him, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you with the Galilean as well? And amazingly, Simon Peter didn't just say, no, didn't know him. He actually said, he called down a curse from heaven if he was lying. And really what he said in modern day terms, he said, on my mother's grave, I tell you, I never knew him. And just after he said that for the third time, cock-a-doodle-doo! And Simon Peter broke down. He remembered the words of Jesus, and he wept. Next egg, please, number seven. He's got egg number seven. Fantastic. Let's go, Eva. Thank you so much. Well done. A round of applause for all our egg bearers. That is super well done. Thank you so, so much. Let's have a look and see what's in the seventh egg. It's a crown of thorns. Any ideas? Alexa, any ideas what the crown of thorns?
Well, whenever Jesus was crucified, they put a crown of thorns on his head. And he was bloody, so...
That's right. So not only was his back bleeding, but his head would have been bleeding. And it was a terrible moment because it was Roman soldiers who were mocking Jesus. All of us, I imagine, hate to be made fun of. Imagine having hundreds of soldiers. And some of them put a reed in your hand, like a scepter of a king, and put a crown of thorns on your head, and a scarlet robe on your back. And then they pretend, they lie down and kneel down in front of you, and then they say to Jesus, Hail, King of the Jews! Imagine not just being in terrible pain, but also having people who have your life in their hands mocking you. Even though you are the King of the Jews, they mock you as, they mock Jesus as someone who is nobody. Number eight, please. Egg number eight, do we have? Brilliant. Round of applause for our Ruby. Thank you very much, Ruby. That is brilliant. Now, what have we got here? It's a cross made out of nails. Now, the nails that put Jesus on the cross would be much bigger than these. I've just given away the answer, haven't I? So, Jesus was nailed with three nails, one through his feet and one through each hand. And yet, what held Jesus to the cross, what sent Jesus to the cross, was love for us. He rode into Jerusalem knowing that he was going to the cross. And yes, there was evil intent among human beings to put him on the cross. But he was going there because his Father wanted for us to be rescued, for us to have new life. Not just wonderful life here and now in knowing God and having his peace that passes understanding, but also life beyond death. And when we're baptized, baptism is all about going from a place of death to a place of life. And being forgiven and filled with the Holy Spirit. And having a fearlessness. On Thursday this week, we had a funeral service. And a dear friend of ours called June has gone to be with the Lord. And the wonderful privilege we had with her family was that in the weeks and days leading up to her death, because she knew for a number of years and a number of months and weeks that she was going to die. And yet the amazing thing was, there was never any fear evident in June's life. She was only ever concerned about her family, and she just said, I'm looking forward to going and being with Jesus. And actually, all of us came away from seeing June with a big smile on our faces because we'd met with someone who was living in the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't even afraid of death. She wasn't even afraid of the pain that she was in. It was such a privilege to see faith in action. And Jesus Christ, too, went to his death. Not an easy thing for us, so that we may have new life and live a life of fearlessness in the here and now by the power of the Holy Spirit as new creations. And Jesus finished that work with the words, "It is finished." Next egg, please. Egg number 9. Brilliant. Well done. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Let's see what's in egg number 9. Fab. Thank you very much. This seems very light, this one. Let's see what it is. It's a spear. Any ideas why we have a spear in the story? Anyone else who hasn't answered yet? Rebecca, can you tell us what the spear is all about, please?
They put a spear into Jesus' side.
That's right. Well done. Let's round of applause for Rebecca. So yes, they wanted to see if Jesus was dead, and so they put a spear in his side, and water and blood flowed out. And they wouldn't have known that according to modern medicine, that is the separation of clot and serum, which only happens when a person is dead. But yet the disciples wouldn't have known that, and yet John in his gospel describes what has happened. We knew that Jesus really died on the cross. Number 10, please. Brilliant. Thank you much indeed, Sophie. Fantastic. Well done. A piece of cloth? This is an interesting one. Any ideas why there'd be a piece of cloth in the Easter story? I think Elizabeth may want to answer this one.
I think whenever they wrap Jesus' body up to put him in the tomb.
Well done. Fantastic. So, give a round of applause for Elizabeth. Well done. Brilliant. So, Joseph of Arimathea, one of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus, they came and they said, "Can we have the body?" And they wrapped Jesus' dead body in a cloth and they put him in a tomb made out of rock and rolled a big stone in front of it. And they went away. They showed their faith in Jesus, but then they went away sad. Next egg, I think it's number 11, please. Do we have an 11? It's like a bingo game, isn't it? Number 11 at all anywhere? Here it comes. Brilliant. Round of applause. Well done. Thank you very much. Oh, you're coming up too. Brilliant. Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. Amaris, will we open it here and have a wee look? I love your dress, by the way. And look, you're matching. Isn't that brilliant? Let's have a wee look and see what's inside. What do you think that is? Is that a stone? You're going to keep that one, are you? Brilliant. Well done. Let you go back to your seat again. Let's give her Amaris a round of applause. Brilliant. Well done. So we've already heard about the stone that was rolled across the tomb and was there to seal Jesus inside. But then something amazing happened. And who's got the last egg, the 12th egg? Brilliant. Let's give Adam a round of applause. Adam, thank you so much. Fantastic. Inside the last egg? Nothing. Why is there nothing inside? Victoria's going to tell us why there's nothing inside the last egg. Tell us about what was Jesus' body in the tomb?
No.
It wasn't? No. So that's why it's an empty egg, because the ladies went in. We heard about them this morning. They went in and they were amazed that they saw the grave closed, but no Jesus. The tomb was empty. Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and hell. And so it wasn't that Jesus was just brought back to life. That's not what resurrection is. Resurrection is rising to a brand new type of living. You see, Jesus rose to a body which will never die again. And you and I, with faith in Christ, will pass through death and we will be given resurrection bodies. See, the body of Jesus could travel from place to place and go into rooms where the doors were locked because he had a body which could travel through walls and could travel from place to place. It could be touched. He could eat. It was a reality which we have not seen before. And yet you and I, as followers of Christ, will have resurrection bodies. But we get to experience God in the here and now by the power of his Holy Spirit in us to give us joy and peace and authority, which is why when we come across sickness, we pray for healing. When we come across injustice, we speak up for those who are being downtrodden. Whenever we find a network of lies, we speak the truth. And that takes courage and it takes compassion. And it takes kindness and it takes resilience. And God gives us that in bucket loads by the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,